Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Certainly it's time to study God's Word, and welcome to the segment. This is our wrap-up of our study on the Bible Principle 28. We've been looking this week at the new earth, and today we speak about how we're going to be rising from ashes to glory, happily ever after, right? I hope that is only about someday. Can sometimes feel disconnected to the struggles of today, right? When we say one day, in the future, you know, but it doesn't have a definite space. And today we're going to be asking, how does the promise of a world without pain help someone struggling today? Yeah, it's in the future of peace and joy and happiness. But what about today? How do we make that make sense for us in the here and the now? If Earth is going to be recreated, does it then matter actually how we treat our environment or our neighbors today? We're concluding our conversation on this lesson by looking at how the promise of the new Earth changes the way we live, the way we love, and even perhaps the way we lead the present world, because our mind is seeking that home, that city whose builder and maker is Jehovah. Pastor Matamba, good morning to you, sir, and welcome.
Morning, Brother Derek. How are you today?
No, we're doing okay, Mfundiswami. Trusting that we find you well.
I'm okay.
Marvelous.
I'm okay. I hope our listeners are okay also.
No, we pray they are. We haven't heard any ill reports, so we trust in that God has got them. Thank you, Mfundisi, for being with us as we draw to the conclusion of our series. We've had a marvelous, marvelous lesson, and let's see if we can make it practical and bring that lesson, this beautiful lesson you've given us, and apply it into today. You know, when the Bible says God will wipe away every tear, I think that's Revelation 21, verse 4. How does this promise specifically address the emotional and perhaps even the mental scars that we carry from this life? I think it's Psalm 56, if I'm not mistaken, where David says, "You take my tears and put them in a bottle." Talk to us about the relation between these two.
You know, when you're speaking to someone who is grieving, and you see that moment of grieving makes you lose your senses. At some point in time, when someone tries to tell you something from the Bible, you might not get it. You might not even accept what the Bible is trying to say to you. But you see, my advice to all of us in this world is that when God says, "I will wipe away your tears," we should take him at his word.
Okay.
Especially looking at the fact that there are things that he already does for us today. There are things that God has promised us, and he has delivered us, has delivered those things to us.
Okay.
Now, looking at those promises that have been delivered, we should also count that he is going to deliver this one as well. God is going to wipe away, truly, genuinely, wiping away our tears in the world to come. Mm. But you see, Before that happens, the promise that is going to wipe away in the world to come, we see it even in this world. Why? Because most people who grieve, you visit them after 4 months, after 5 months, you find them, they are already slowly healing.
Yeah.
They are already calming down. The situation is becoming fine. And after years, they are laughing. Life is normal. Mm. That tells you that if God can do that in this world, if he can help us to get through our emotional pain in this world, then surely he's going to deal completely with this problem in the world to come. Mm. And you see, one might ask that, are you saying that we are going to be crying, literally crying, and God is going to be wiping our tears in the new world, in the new earth? But that's not so. I don't think that's what the verse is suggesting, that God will be coming to our faces, carrying a big towel and wiping every face, every tear that is falling from our cheeks, from everyone.
Okay.
I think what the text is referring here to is that God will remove that thing which caused the pain, that thing which caused us to shed tears. He's going to remove the source of of our tears from us.
Okay.
There'll be so that no one will have to shed tears any longer. This is what God is going to do for us in the new world. We shall have no experience of anything that makes us cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we see that from today, God really wipes our tears as we travel along.
No, thank you. We can see that. Thank you for this. And you know, remind me as you wrapped up the last point there that God always encourages us to reason from cause to effect. And you're saying here how he applies it as well from his side. He doesn't just deal with the effect. Oh, let me just wipe your tears, guys. Tomorrow we will be crying again. Oh, don't worry. I'm here to wipe your tears. It comes to a point where you're like, but wait a minute. I don't need to be wiped tears. I can do that myself.
Exactly.
I want my problem, the cause, to be dealt with.
So,
and that's what God is saying. I will deal with that. Thank you so much for that. Now, as believers, Muruti, this understanding of what is waiting for us in the new home, how does this affect and how should this affect and fuel even the mission initiatives that we have, especially around the impact of the everlasting gospel, right? This good news of a savior who cares and wants to restore us from to our original glory that we've been discussing this week. What is this kind of a news supposed to do for a believer who is carrying the gospel commission?
I think that's where the Adventist Church differs from every other denomination.
Okay,
we believe that God is we came from Eden and God is restoring us back to Eden.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we preach, whatever we teach, is to do with going back to the original.
Mm-hmm.
So as Adventists, I think we have to push this gospel, looking from that angle of restoration.
Hmm.
If you know, you can start a church and start preaching,
okay,
and you are preaching the everlasting gospel, but you should be looking at what is the purpose of the gospel that we are preaching. The purpose is to restore us back to Eden. The purpose is to restore us back to the new earth. And as Adventists, we have been committed with a sacred mission to bring people back to where everything started. And we are to preach the everlasting gospel with that in view, that we are supposed to take the world back to where it began. And I think that's why we as Adventists should be at the top of propelling the gospel, because we know where we are supposed to be going.
Yeah.
And other denominations may not be realizing why they are preaching.
Mm.
For us, we preach so that we are restored to the new earth.
Yeah.
And that should give us the power to preach. Yes. Yeah. Because that's the we are coming from somewhere and we are supposed to be going back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. We've got a purpose. It's not, this is just a means to an end, and it's almost like a bus, right? Your purpose is to fill up the bus because you're heading somewhere. This is not the point of it. It's not just
getting
to the bus. The bus is not the objective. It's just the means which will help us to get to that destination.
Get us to the objective.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that.
Pastor, one challenge that always plagues people is will we meet our loved ones? Will we see them again? Right, when we lose loved ones, we were talking about grief earlier on. Will we lose them? Will we see them again? Will we know them again? but when you start hearing passages from Scripture, I mean, it's Christ who responds to that trick questions from the Pharisees, the Sadducees. You know, woman marries seven brothers, who will be a husband in the new world? And like, no, gents, you don't understand. It's not the same. Lapayana, there is no marrying and giving in marriage. And then you add to that actually Isaiah's take on it. Isaiah would then say, the former things we will not remember anymore. And then you think, okay, well, what is it meaning? Is it meaning that when we get to heaven, God is just going to wipe? I mean, we talked about wiping our tears. Is also going to wipe our memory so that we've got no remembrance of pain anymore? What is this idea of the former things not being remembered anymore actually mean when we talk about the new world?
Okay, the former things that will not be remembered, things that relate to sin and the pain that sin caused to us. But There is one thing that shall remain that will remind us of sin, the scars in the hands of Jesus.
Mm.
So that's the only reminder that we are coming from a world where there was sin and the Son of God had to come and die for us. But you see, coming to the point of or losing our identity and not or failing to identify each other,
yeah.
it's not true, because when we read in Matthew 8, verse 11, I just hope I'll find it quickly here. Matthew 8, verse 11, Jesus Christ tells us that we are going to meet the likes of, who is this, Abraham, Jacob, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. And,
okay.
You know, how are we going to know that this is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob unless we have an identity of them? There are those who lived with them who can testify this was Isaac, this was Abraham. This was Jacob, and those gentlemen we are going to be discussing with them how they made it and their challenges and so forth. Let me just read for you. And okay. I say unto you, this is Matthew 8 verse 11, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So it means we are going to recognize them. We are going to recognize Abraham, we are going to recognize Isaac, we are going to recognize Jacob.
Yeah.
And those who lived with them, if their wives have been saved as well, they are going to recognize their wives. We are also going to recognize our friends, those whom we were with, especially in the Gospel Commission. We are going to recognize them by their faces, by their names. We are going to recognize our families, our wives,
Amen.
Our children.
Amen.
We are going to recognize them. But what we will not have to linger in our minds is how we struggled with sin. I think that thought must be removed from us because sin has done so much damage to us that we don't want to remember about it anymore. Except that Christ will carry those marks with him, which will always tell us that, hey, we have been in a world where we suffered and we caused the Son of God to look like this.
May God help us. May God help us that as we get there, we are also. And I guess that's why only those who are truly appreciative of the work that Christ has done, is doing, will be the ones who make it right. And as you say that,
that's
I was reminded of, I think it's Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I remember someone even testified.
Uh-huh. Yes, and you know what I wanted to allude to that. You know if you've been hungry for 5 years, and someone gives you food, after those 5 years, and then you are asked to explain the hunger, you may not be able to explain the hunger after your stomach is filled.
You
struggle to explain how the hunger was because you are now full to the point that you forget your past problems.
I think it's one author who I think inspired really says as she had a vision of the new world and the people that they met, like you're saying, we will remember and we'll meet these people who died and we were with and we loved and so forth. She's asked to say, hey, talk to us about the struggles you faced in the gospel work. And as they try to recall, they're like, wait a minute, what's that? That in comparison to what we've gained, heaven is cheap enough. It's cheap enough.
That's very true.
God bless us, man.
Thank you so much for that.
Mfundisi, maybe let's conclude quickly. One thing we've picked up and what we've been hearing, especially in this series and the one before this, is that this promise that we've been talking about, the new earth, is reserved for a certain elite, a certain few, a certain people who... it's not like they are the chosen, but what makes them chosen is that they have chosen to be chosen. The call is John 3:16, right? Whosoever wants to receive life, let him come. And maybe let's remind the listener today to say the new earth is not just for everybody. You've got to put in your application form, and they may be wondering, how do I do that? Maybe talk to somebody quickly as we wrap up.
All right. I just have one text here for this. And that text is found in Revelation 22, verse 14.
Okay.
And I want to read it in the King James Version. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city, the new Jerusalem that we've been talking about. So If you are the only application that you do to enter into these cities, keeping God's commandments. And you know, we were removed from the Garden of Eden by disobedience. We were removed from accessing the tree of life by disobedience. So what is going to bring us back to Garden of Eden and also to the tree of life is obedience. And this is what Revelation 22 verse 14 is alluding to. Our gateway into the city, or our right to the city, is us keeping God's commandments by faith in Jesus Christ. Don't do it legalistically, as a legalist. It by faith in Jesus Christ. And you are going to make it into the to the city, New Jerusalem, and you are going to have access to the tree of life, which will give us life for the rest of eternity. This tree of life. So that's what I can say to somebody today, as you are preparing to enter into the new city, into the new earth. The only thing you can do is to keep God's commandments by faith in Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Those who have loved him are the ones he will love, even though we love him because he loved us. It's a beautiful full circle that it must come out to. Pastor, we appreciate you. May God bless you. And thank you so much for taking us through this series. You've made it very clear. And what an invitation you're giving out. Let's pray people take a hold of it. Thank you.
We thank God for that. Thank you, Brother Derek, for the time. May God bless the listeners and you also.
Thank you, Mfundisi. Same to you, Pastor Matambo there. Joining us as we make this call clear, come, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, let him who hears answer the call to come.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.